Our reading for this morning is taken from the revelation given to St. John, some of the final verses of that reading. And our Lord says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let him who hears say, 'Come,' and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Please be seated. Many years ago, there was a young man that came to visit me. I had not been his pastor, and I met him once, I believe, prior to this at a baptism that he attended. Kind of a rough-looking character. And he came into my office, shut the door, and sat down, and told me he had just come from the doctor's office. He was in his mid-20s. And he had just been informed that he had a very serious heart defect. And the doctor informed him there's a chance that you could not make it even through the year. And he was shaking as he told me about this and went on to talk to me about his life. And he said, "I have lived a horrible life." And when he laid it out to me, he certainly had been in a lot of trouble. And the reason he wanted to come and see me was he was now terrified that this was all so imminent, this fact that he could be leaving life so soon, and the fact that he would have to be facing God in judgment. You might say the finality of it all had started to really hit him. When I hear the words of the text that we just heard read before us, it reminds me of that finality moment about judgment. There's such a final nature to these words. And these words often resonate down inside of our hearts and our consciences and our minds and can really cause us to be rather afraid. There are a lot of images that get tied together into these six verses or so. And we have this picture of a city and someone being thrown out of a city, cast out of the city gates and not let in. And that city, of course, we know described just earlier in the chapter as the beautiful home of heaven. But being thrown outside the gates of the city, those are terrifying words. Out there with the dogs, it says, being expelled from heaven. It reminds us of in Jesus' parable of the 10 virgins, how at the end the 5 foolish ones came and it was too late and we're told the doors were shut. There's just a chilling finality about all of this whenever we consider the judgment. And then when we look at the reasons, the criteria why people are excluded from heaven, listen to some of the words again. Who are the people that are kicked out of the city and not allowed in? Listen. The sexually immoral. Murderers. Those who practice a lie. Okay, let's look at these. The sexually immoral. Jesus says, "Whosoever looks at a woman lustfully," or a man lustfully, "has committed adultery with them already in their heart." Murder. Jesus says, "Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer." And a lie, practicing a lie and lying, who isn't guilty of that? According to the criteria that is laid out before us, these are chilling words. These are the ones who are thrown out of the city and not allowed in. Now, Jesus refers to himself in a very unique way here. And I want us to pay close attention to what he says. He describes himself as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. But then he says, "I am the root and the offspring of David." The root and the offspring of David. He doesn't say, "I'm the root and the offspring of Abraham," which he could have said, or Mary or Joseph or any other relative in his family line. But David, Very particularly, I am the root and the offspring of David. A subtle reminder to us of his family tree and of someone who is, we know from Scripture, in heaven with him. Wasn't David sexually immoral? Wasn't David also a murderer? Wasn't David one who practiced a lie? That whole story of Bathsheba and killing her husband and lying about the whole thing? Our Lord Jesus is reminding us here, as he does throughout Scripture, of the beautiful cleansing power of repentance. When the Holy Spirit in our hearts causes us to realize our sin, deal with it, face it, and repent of it before God. There's a cleansing power to that. The same David wrote Psalm 51 about that very incident, how he had disobeyed God so blatantly. And he says, "Have mercy on me, O God. According to your loving kindness, blot out my transgressions." Martin Luther, in commenting on that very Psalm of David, has one of my favorite paragraphs that's not in the Bible that has probably helped me as a Christian more than any other writing outside of Scripture. I want to read it to you. You've maybe heard me say it before because to me it's such great words. Luther wrote this about that psalm. "If therefore you acknowledge that you have sin, if you tremble, if you are troubled by a feeling of God's wrath and by a horror of God's judgment and of hell, then have confidence. You are the one with whom God wants to speak, to whom God wants to show mercy, and whom he wants to save." That's a great way to express it. Jesus in our text is talking about his bride, the church, who's waiting for him. Throughout the Bible, he describes different things that are going on in the mind and heart of his bride while waiting for him to be taken into the wedding hall. And I'll just read a few things I jotted down. She's very concerned about her own sins. She's aware of what she's done wrong before God. She doesn't brush her sins aside. She realizes she does not deserve to be let into the city. She wishes that her spiritual life and that her conduct were more pleasing to God. She wishes that she was more faithful to God, that she was more spiritually minded. She loves to know and hear about Jesus' forgiveness and what he did for her on the cross. She has a hunger for his holiness that she knows she doesn't have on her own. And she's even willing to say, even the dogs long to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She recognizes she belongs outside of the city with the dogs. This is how the bride of Christ is described to us in Scripture by the Holy Spirit. God places before you and me today this beautiful invitation to come inside of the city through the work of Christ. I want you to hear it again. "Let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." There's no cost. God doesn't come and say, "If you do this first, then I'll let you in." It's free, absolutely free to you today because of the work of his Son. Just come and drink of it and take of it freely. And when the Holy Spirit works repentance in our hearts and causes us to grab on to what Jesus did and love the gospel and appreciate it and realize what it means for us, we can be absolutely confident we will be inside of the city gates. Jesus uses the imagery of a bride waiting for a groom. I've done a number of weddings, some right in this chapel, and I love that moment when I'm standing up at the front and the groom is up here turned, looking back, waiting for his bride. And it's maybe the first time that he's gotten to see her in her wedding gown for some people. And she's standing there with her dad at the back doors waiting to come in. And you can just see their eyes locking on each other. You can see how fun of a day this is for them and how they're so focused in on each other. Even though hundreds of people may be standing at their side as she comes down the aisle, she's looking right at her future husband. That is a wonderful picture that God draws on for us, the members of his church, waiting for our Lord Jesus to come back and take us home to heaven. Our eyes are fixed on him, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who's by the scars on his hands won heaven for every one of us. And we long to be with him. We long to have him take us into that beautiful marriage feast. And so every time we or little children bow down at their dinner table and say that prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus," we are expressing that longing of His church. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly come. Amen.